Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Watching films in the hot sun. Alien v Predator, who won? Batman v Superman, who won? Andy and Tim having pod fun. We brought some more cause we're not done. We brought some more cause we're...
Play the theme tune.
Alright.
Welcome back to the Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show. We're here for another week. Now, the eagle-eared of you might have noticed that we didn't put out an episode last week. Why didn't we put out an episode last time, Tim?
Because we couldn't.
Why was that?
Didn't have one.
Ah.
Can't put nothing out. Got to put something out. And we didn't.
Because
we were bloody busy.
We took a summer holiday. Because you know the
summer,
thing is...
In this, what happens in the summer, Andy?
No movies. Because everyone's on holiday. They didn't put out any movies.
The Edinburgh Movies Festival, and that's when they say, okay, that's all the movies done for this bit. They take a big break at the end and they say, hold off on the movies until we've got a couple more weeks to make some more for you once they've worked out all of the reviews.
They call it a winter blockbuster for a reason.
But we were lucky. We took that time to do some stuff, work on our own individual projects.
I suppose, in a way.
Yeah, I don't know what you've done because we haven't spoken since the last recording.
Okay.
And actually, you weren't even here for the last episode.
Oh, I was tending to my allotment, Tim.
That's right.
New hobbies.
I had Andy Price on.
Any good?
He was telling me about his movie.
Yeah.
And that was quite fun. So I've missed you, mate. It's been a while.
It has been. Let's never leave it so long again, or I will kill myself.
Okay. I'll just say what I've been doing, and it does play into actually what our normal first feature is, which of course, as
the
you know,
the theme tune is.
After that, what has happened?
I say plug them to the podcast,
and
that's the first feature. So you're gonna say plug them to the podcast as well?
No. Marvel news is what you normally do.
Okay, fine.
And so I thought I'd just get myself all stocked up like a little squirrel with nuts in his cheeks. Just get myself all ready for the winter months with the nutty movies in my cheeks. Get some all this nice stuff. And so I went to Marvel HQ.
What?
They invited me. They heard about No, I'll keep going. They asked me about... Because they heard all my good work I'd done on Marvel News.
Hold my phone.
Okay. What do I need me to...
No, the phone.
Okay. Oh, no, I'll keep going. They were like, oh, you've done all the great news on Marvel, all the great work on Marvel News, Tim. Given all the news, told other people, all the exclusives that we've handed to you specifically, why not come along and look at the HQ? And that stands for...
High quality.
High quality. The Marvel high quality building where all the high quality movies is made.
Uh-huh.
And I went along, I got a good look, but I can't tell you what it is because it's all secret and behind doors and walls and closed ones.
But Tim, let me stop you right there. Was that not the whole point?
No, it's stocked up, ready for future episodes, so I don't have to do any research for the next couple of months.
Can't you spunk it all out now?
Isn't it?
bumper Marvel News episode, Tim. That's what they want. This is a wave for so long.
Right, I'll tease a bit now.
Give me something.
For this episode.
Just give me something.
So there is a rumour.
Go on.
That the next one they're doing.
Go on.
Do we know what their trademark is? Which is?
Movies.
They do movies.
Yeah.
And they will be releasing another movie.
Shut up.
Made by them. That is about a Marvel person.
Now hold my phone.
Yep.
And then shut up again. They're making another movie.
The movie.
Oh.
And actually, a couple.
No.
Guess who's in it? Superhero.
Batman.
Oh. No. But you're close because he is one, but it is a superhero.
Okay.
And guess what he's doing?
Saving the world.
Saving the world.
Yes.
Now, I shouldn't have said that because they did tell me, and it wasn't exclusive.
Yeah.
And also, it will be starring a white man. But I can't say any more than that, Andy. That's what they told me in confidence.
Can I make some predictions? Is that allowed? You don't have to confirm or deny. We'll just talk it out. I predict that the inciting incident in this first movie is that a guy comes along and he's not a very good guy. And he does something that puts the world in jeopardy.
Now, I haven't told Andy any of the information, but I just want to say I am giving him big winks right now.
Yeah.
And playing a little bit of under the table footsie to say, this is good, what are you doing?
His bollocks.
That's Marvel news. So what have you been doing, Andy?
Oh, my wife left me.
Genevieve?
She's left me. I thought you'd notice me sleeping on your sofa, to be honest with you. You have been away, though, I guess.
I've been at Marvel. I've stayed there for, like, a month.
I crawled through the cat flap.
Yeah, why? So what's happened?
I got stuck. So called the fire brigade.
Yeah. Oh, that's why there's no door?
That's why there's no door.
Right. Yeah.
And no cat.
And why my key didn't work? Because there wasn't a door to put it in.
And because the door ran away.
So how are you coping?
Badly.
Ah.
That's why I started an allotment.
That's why the pool of sick was next.
Only
the
severely depressed start an allotment. Otherwise,
oh, it happened then.
Happy people.
Oh, that's why you weren't here for the episode.
Shop
you were
at
doing...
Tesco's.
Okay, that's interesting.
I just muster the energy to go down to the shops. So I had to start planting my own fruit and vegetables.
Okay. Oh, and you brought some with you, haven't you?
Yeah.
What's
plums,
this one here?
These two plums represent my severed testicles.
That's
and
clever.
This
that's good because people actually
marrow represents.
Who's the guest we've got this week?
No fucking no, I don't care.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, welcome back to The Talking Movies Pictures Movie Show. We're here with our guest this week, Lorelex.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Good. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a very exciting time. Obviously, this is leading up to awards season, so we're going to be, you know, looking forward to Oscars coming Ooh. Up in January. So, yeah, I mean, what's is this a deliberate kind of, you know, grab at the little gold man?
It wasn't intended to be. I think I was just
okay,
the
have
right...
Okay, you been coached to say that?
Yeah, did I do it well? No, it was... I think I was just the right British accent in the right place for the film.
Good,
and
good.
I was delighted to be asked, yes. and I'll be really happy when I
so
win.
So you are the only... Oh, interesting, when you win, okay. But so there's quiet confidence there, overtly and arrogantly. So the... You said the only British accent. Is that true in the film?
Yeah, so it was okay. an entirely American cast,
right.
But not catering unit. Ha! and yeah, I was the token Brit.
It's about time that they had some Brits over there.
Especially token yeah. ones as well, because sometimes they put three in at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, it just loses its meaning.
The part came down to either me or James Corden, and they... thankfully picked me, which was great.
That's
a lovely time.
And,
was it the same when they did put out the casting call? Was it the same casting call that both you and James went up for?
Yeah, my agent is ambitious on what he puts me up for, but I was, you know, I'm up for anything, and I am a method performer.
Yeah, because the character is called James Corden.
Yeah.
So I wondered if that was how much that parallel was with the real life James Corden and...
So I was playing the role of James Corden.
The real one that we know and love. Well,
yes.
That we know.
Yes. His people were not thrilled with
That's
this.
Interesting. Was there any under the table dealings in order for you to get this instead of Jimmy?
I plead the fifth. See, hanging out with Americans.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
No, like James and I had a pint last week and he talked at length about how unhappy he was. with my decision to plough ahead with the film. But at the end of the day, I sat him down and said, you know, you'd have done the same thing in my position.
Because it's about him, so he would definitely
have
played himself, probably.
And he
imagine.
Agreed
yeah, yeah.
he would have played the role if they'd offered it to him.
Sure.
But I think he's seen some of the rushes, and he's happy that I did justice to him, I think.
So did you, did you spend a lot of time with him to kind of bring on the character... to kind of get into the James Corden
mode.
Yeah,
and did that seem like it was insensitive because he obviously was the other person up for the role?
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. What I did do was I talked to Eddie Redmayne quite a lot about how he'd got into character for the Stephen Hawking film.
I see. So the method acting was to get into the mind of an actor instead of the character.
Yeah, yeah, because I'd never acted before this film.
Oh, of course,
because another reason James was furious.
Yeah. Well, that's a rule, isn't it, with American movies, that if they're going to have a token Brit, they can't have acted before. It's always got to be introduced.
They want
to
be. They want to have that cachet of like, oh, we've discovered this person.
Unless it's Emily Blunt,
right?
She's allowed to be in more than one now.
That's interesting.
And was that why James Corden wasn't allowed to play himself in the movie? Is because he's been in other movies.
He's been in other movies.
I think what
he's on American television.
Is that actually James Corden on camera doesn't look like James Corden. As you know him, so it wouldn't. It's weird, you know, like when Charlie Chaplin came second in a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest. It's very similar with James Corden on camera.
Where did he place
in the Charlie Chaplin lookalike?
fifth or sixth, I think. He's very good at that, but he's dog
blonde,
shit at playing James
Corden.
Yeah,
wrong hair.
Yeah. Well, you can't tell. It's black and white, isn't it?
Well, I actually have a red bob, but when I'm in. Character as James, you can't even see it.
So what does he look like? Because obviously we've only ever seen him on camera.
Yeah.
So what does he look like off camera?
So he's about 5 foot. He's got quite like a round feminine face. He's got massive tits. And he sounds a bit like he grew up in the West Country.
That's
well, now if
interesting.
You could
now,
explain for the listener how
well,
you
no,
look
hold on.
Like.
Yeah, yeah. If you
can
describe
how...
yourself.
Yeah.
And then maybe...
You can see how much work you went into.
Yeah, so I mean, I had to work quite hard. I'm 5'1". I've got half a bob, but I've got an undercut on the other side of my head.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, quite tough. It was...
How did you lose an inch?
Where did you grow up?
Well, Taunton in Somerset, yeah.
Okay, so nearly the West Country.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you lose the inch? Sorry, yeah, lose the inch for filming.
The 5'1" inch. Yeah.
Negator shoes. They actually had to dig... an inch hole along everywhere
remember,
I was walking.
You remember Negator from that children's cartoon, Andy?
No, I don't watch
Fill it in the children's cartoon. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I only watch The Late Late Show with James Corden.
As a child.
You guys know it? As a child. I travel through time on a regular basis.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's not get into that.
I started this podcast 5 years from now.
Ooh. So. I'm so pleased to be your first guest.
So James Corden's real life wife plays the wife in the film, and that's because she is American and because she's not been in a film before, so that's fine.
And she looks incredibly like
Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Which I was delighted with. Personally.
And where did he place in the Charlie Chaplin competition? He was first.
He did well because he obviously was Chaplin.
Yeah,
the
they
film,
gave
so.
Him the film. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, we got on like a house on fire. In many ways, she got quite drunk a few times and said she wished she was married to me instead of James, and he was there, which
was
awkward.
Was that in the script or was that?
No, that was like on some of the. We had a few sleepovers at mine.
Sleepovers.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Well, I've never, you know, anyway, I've signed a non-disclosure about that, but she was great, she was very warm, she was very welcoming, she cried a lot, she makes a lovely casserole, she was really fun to hang out with, and we're not allowed to see each other again, but if we were, I think we'd be quite good friends.
Oh. Can I just pick up on one thing you just said about the sleepover? Mm. You mentioned she makes a good casserole.
Yeah.
Which, so I guess my question is, you didn't get the craft services to supply the food for the sleepover.
Interesting.
No. We tried to keep it
on the
down low.
So you could have done.
Yeah, we didn't want the rest of the crew to know how tight we were getting because there's a lot of politics on set.
Yeah, get
like,
back to James and...
Yeah, sure. And obviously I was already the outsider for being the only Brit. That was there, and so they loved the fact that I was the only Brit, and there was lots of pranking.
On set?
Yeah, like halfway through, it was just as Brexit happened, so they made me sign a thing saying I was earning exactly half what I was earning before Brexit because they were like, your money's worth
that's
nothing.
Great.
That is
great.
And like, they'd tell me we were filming in really remote places, and then I'd get there, and weren't filming there. Nothing was happening. So they loved me.
Did they send you?
Oh, like Poland. For one day. And they were like, we'll reimburse you for the flights.
No,
and then they don't.
And where was it being shot?
Nevada.
Oh, of course. That is quite a distance.
That's not Poland.
No,
What a joke.
Yeah. No, my agent was angry, but I think that's how they show you that they like you.
Yeah. I mean, were you reimbursed for the flights or?
No, not in the end, because we were for all these things. So
sure,
they were like, it's
not
a
flight. Did they fly you first class at least, though?
Well, I bought my own tickets.
So, yeah. Why would you place yourself as a second-class citizen? That's what I've...
Well, you're leading the film, so you assume...
What would James do? WWJD.
James would go first class.
Yeah. So would James Woods.
James Woods plays your son in the film.
He does, yeah.
He puts in a rousing performance as the eight-year-old.
I was roused.
Corden.
I didn't know when they first... cast him, I didn't realise that on top of playing James, I'd be playing James's wife's vagina for the birth scene. Oh. So having that scene with James Woods crawling
out of there,
and the special effects have to do like everything that looks like embryonic fluid in that's apple juice.
So it wasn't prosthetics.
No. We were just chucking food at stuff for like days. It was incredible,
for
actually.
Days.
Yeah, it's a long scene. Didn't make the final edit.
None of it.
It was cut out of the film. Okay. Like that baby was cut from me. It was difficult. Ooh. But I think worth it for
bonding, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is, yeah.
And were you bonded by all the slung about food?
Yeah, cable ties.
With Woodsy still, are you still good friends with him, tight with him?
Yes, yeah. He has got the trial date coming up for the rap party, and then we're hoping to go away somewhere and like do a little cast reunion.
Okay, nice, but without James, of course. Corden.
Yeah.
Who was the director on this movie?
Charlotte Church.
Ah. So she was the token Welsh director.
Yeah, well, it's called Champagne Socialist. She's been trying to really make a name for herself since
So the film's called Champagne Socialist.
And she wants to have a different name.
Yeah. Yeah.
What name does she want?
Charlie Church.
Now, where does she place in the Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest?
Well, from the back,
sound alike, she'd
pretty
be very
high.
From the back high, yeah. Okay.
The back of her head is a spit for Charlie Chaplin's.
What's
back
it shaved?
Of head. No.
No? It appears to have shaved.
It's like
a
magic eye thing in the bob. It's incredible.
Just a random patch of black hair.
Yeah, and if you sort of vague your eyes out a bit, It really looks like Charlie Chaplin.
Wearing a bowler hat as well. Yeah, remarkable. Yeah. And she does use a cane now, as I understand.
Yes, it's for too beating many, our husband away.
I thought it was too many late nights. But
not you know, since she's had the kids, mate. No, that is slander, probably.
We will cut that. It's what she's known for.
That is what happens if you have too many late nights, kids.
Which husband was she trying to beat away?
All of them.
Was it the Welsh one?
She had a Welsh one, an English one, an Irish one. They all walked into a bar.
Yeah.
She got a stick. Now there's an exclusion zone around her.
Okay.
But she was a great director to work with. You know, she had such a vision for this. What she wanted was for the Labour Party to win back at least 15 more seats in the next general election. She thought the film was the best way to do that.
So it was a political statement from her. And how did that come across in the film, though? What sort of role does the character of James Corden play in that?
Well, he's playing Maggie Thatcher's aide in the sort of coal era.
It's you as James Corden as Maggie Thatcher's aide.
Yeah. During the Cold War.
So is it like a revisionist history piece where it's like, what would have happened, as you said, what would James do if he'd been Maggie Thatcher's
aide? It's more like they felt like in that time, it was such a desolate time for a lot of working class families, they sort of felt like this character must have existed somewhere in the mechanisms.
Yes, James Corden is a sort of social archetype, you might say. That just crops up every now and again in, you know, just the zeitgeist of the world.
Yeah.
You know, such an essential part of our culture. Yeah. How can there only have ever been one James Corden? There must have been hundreds, if
like
not
the,
more.
Like the bone clocks. I don't know if you've read that, David Mitchell, this idea of reincarnations of people. James has always been there. He's always been a huge comfort for...
As a film.
For people. It's a different one, but it is the same author.
Author, yeah.
Impressed. 10 points.
Is that the same premise?
No.
Has he written the same book twice?
No, very different books. And the Bone Clocks lent itself to being a film way more than Cloud Atlas did, but Cloud Atlas is the one I made a film.
Yes, but in Cloud Atlas you did get to see Hugh Grant as a Chinese person, so... I didn't watch it, just read the book.
How does he find so much time to write books?
Who?
With all the panel shows.
Different guy, mate.
What?
No. Yeah.
In the way that there's more than one James Corden.
David Mitchell's in the well, there's more than one James Bond.
Yeah, so someone else plays David Mitchell in the panel show. So the real David Mitchell gets to sit around writing books all day,
and then he just takes all the credit from all of it.
Yeah, I mean we're on the fringes of the entertainment industry, so we don't really understand these nuances. But I mean, there's a lot going on.
It's busy.
People playing other people. Everyone playing Charlie Chaplin. Sounds like a riot. Maybe we should talk a bit about the premise of this movie. Where did the story come from?
Well, it's all churchy, was it?
Yeah, I think she got brought in. So the story, I think, is in a old Welsh folk tale that they wanted to kind of bring a bit more grit to and a bit of realism, which is why they did most of it naturalistic. Obviously, there's the musical numbers, I think, was their way of trying to bring the
nearly
reality.
Nearly Dogma 95, but then you add in the music.
Bit of Moulin Rouge. Yeah, just for that explosion of your senses, which was really characterised the 80s for a lot of people, I think.
I mean,
explosion of
senses. James Corden is well known for his voice. He's a great singer. He does carpool karaoke. So it's no surprise.
That just won an Emmy recently.
Yeah. How did you feel about that?
Well, I think...
Did you accept it?
I was quite...
Because we need to clarify, so since the film came out, you have been playing James Corden in real life as well.
Yes.
You've been hosting The Late Late Show, you've been hosting Carpool Karaoke, you've been surreptitiously, you know, with the family.
Yeah. I think, though, because in the film they made the decision to make James mute, that has impacted his career with me playing him since I left the set.
So for him,
it's been quite a culture shock because he's now trying to host Carpool Karaoke and he's essentially playing the role of a silent taxi driver with an awkward guest in the passenger seat. So I think...
Right, but again, that is you now.
Yeah, realistically, I have trashed this man's career, but from my perspective, I've never been flying higher as a comedian.
It's the role of a lifetime. Literally, your lifetime is now James
and
Corden.
And the car
is
rolling.
His lifetime.
Sure. It depends who's older, who would die first, I guess.
Yeah. Who is older?
Him, probably.
He will die first.
He would die first, so the role of his lifetime.
When he dies, will you continue playing the role of James Corden?
No, then I will move on to the next.
Well, that seems like the appropriate time to stop, I think.
Yeah. Will you at least do the eulogy?
Yeah, would you appear at his funeral as him?
In the casket?
I think that's disrespectful.
Cremation and burial at the same time.
That's fair. I feel like that's too far. Like, taking over a man's life and driving it firmly into the toilet
based on
him just being the first name that came into your head is one thing. Climbing into the casket of a recently deceased national treasure, something... other comics would do.
To describe James Corden.
No, not this country, but another nation's treasure.
Oh, he's their national treasure.
Poland.
That he's like the film National Treasure, absolute dog shit.
Hey, mate, let's not fall out at this point of the podcast. There is nothing wrong with National Treasure.
The film.
I played the treasure in that film.
So I'm going to pose a scenario for you. What if, as a result of you taking James Corden's life over and his career going into the toilet, what if that led him to take his own life? How would you feel about having your role cut short?
What do you mean, take it back from me?
No, he'd kill himself.
But he'd have to kill me because I'm him.
Oh, God.
Right. But, like now, you said, when he dies...
if that is legal or not.
Yeah, him. For him to commit suicide now, he's got to kill me.
Take both of you to Switzerland and he would euthanize himself, which is legal, but
well,
it's
I'm
you.
Probably not going to agree to do that. Well, I'm quite happy... being alive.
Terminally ill or...
I'm not, no,
okay,
not yet.
Okay,
fine. I mean, technically, I am in the grand scheme of things, where I've probably got 50, 60 years. Fingers crossed.
But longer than Corden.
Maybe, but he's got a pretty good diet these days. He's been living in America, he's working out, he's keeping healthy.
Okay. It's not showing, but I mean, yeah. It's,
well, would we know?
We haven't seen the real James Corden, as we said, for years now.
No, he is a shell of a man. He is like hanging out with Richard Simmons in a mansion somewhere.
Oh, did you listen to the podcast?
I listened to about half of it, and then I felt like it was a very voyeuristic, unpleasant experience digging into a man's life, and I should stop listening to it. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should do one about James Corden.
We should.
Missing.
But don't, everyone's gonna because be like, I don't want to call attention to the fact that my career is on fire and I'm not actually
him.
Yes,
and not everyone is aware that you are him, and we don't want to call attention to the fact that he is missing, because then they'll say, well, who's been James Corden all this time?
Yeah.
But maybe it'd be good publicity for the film.
Yeah, yeah, if they ever finish editing it, yeah.
Is it hard putting on all the prosthetics every day?
This isn't prosthetics.
Oh.
I am that method. I just willed myself to look like him.
And it happens.
And now I do, yeah.
I mean, you do.
Uh-huh.
You absolutely do.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
So that's not bleached blonde. That's just...
This is still red. It's just I'm so good at acting like James Corden.
You
think it's blonde.
That's remarkable.
Good Lord.
Give me that Oscar, guys.
What about the genitals?
The genitals?
Mm-hmm.
However big you want them to be.
Oh,
just again, you just dive into our minds.
Yeah.
Please. Average size.
Please.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I can take anything.
No, not your genitals, Andy.
I mean, the answer would be very different if we were talking about that.
Right, but that would still be an improvement, wouldn't it? Well,
so what did you guys think of the film? I mean, you got sent...
We got a screener.
Yeah? What did you think?
We got a screener. Didn't drop it in
I only got the second disc, so I only got the deleted scenes and the bloopers. So I haven't seen the actual film. I've just seen what wasn't in it.
Right. There were a lot of those.
Yes. So I did see the James Woods out of your fanny scene.
Yes.
Where you played his wife's
Meryl
family.
Meryl drinking.
Yeah. It was quite remarkable that you were able to remain mute during the birth scene.
Yep.
That's quite a rare thing. Did you ever worry that would maybe be a little bit of a stretch for the audience that would expect?
It was a bit of a stretch for me, mate. I was squeezing James Woods out.
He is big.
No.
He's adult size.
Do you know what I actually did? I went and lived with some Scientologists for a couple of months.
Famous ones?
Maybe not. They taught me how to do silent births. Quite big in Scientology.
Right, of course,
don't make any noise during birth.
Noise, that's true. Mm. Okay. And how are your thetan levels looking now?
My
thetan levels.
Pretty standard.
Good. Okay. That's good.
For a hero.
Great. Now, one of the things I did enjoy on the second disc that I received. Now, Andy, you got the normal disc. You've seen the film.
Yes.
I haven't, but I did see there's a commentary track. Now, I want to play a little clip of that commentary track now where you talk about. That deleted scene where you were playing James Corden's wife's fanny. So you want to just play that now and we'll just listen to that?
Let's
okay,
see that
great.
Obviously, the stubble rash isn't great in this shot here. I did ask my agent to have this bit removed, but I think from a feminist perspective, it's really important that you guys see this and see the reality of what we go through. That's the bit there where James got my clit stuck up his nose and he just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, that was so funny to film. All of the doctors, of course, are real in this scene as well.
But they hadn't been told that it was just for a film.
They didn't know what the cameras were doing there. We had to film it sort of, kind of ad hoc. But it was a great laugh for all involved. Great clip there. That was, of course, you and the assistant director, Paul Thomas Anderson. No.
It's amazing that Charlotte Church was able to get an assistant director so renowned.
People are queuing
Oscar-winning.
Up to work with Churchy.
Mm.
Yeah, even for P.T. Anderson.
Yeah. Do you know her pen name that she does most of her producing under? Paul Feige.
Oh. Now that's interesting.
So, okay, interesting. That is interesting.
Tell why it's interesting.
That's not interesting for anyone except us. We watched Spy last night, that's why.
What were we talking about?
Wait, so you're saying Charlotte Thomas Anderson, that's her pen name?
Yeah, so this is just the first thing that she's agreed to do as Charlotte.
Oh, so this is why all of Paul Feig's films are seen as like these feminist masterpieces.
Yes, yeah, Charlotte Church.
This is Charlie Church.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fascinating.
But now, Voice of an Angel, Breaking Free. This was her swan song. No, that means saying goodbye. Debut. That's the other one.
Yes.
And she is delighted that it's had the reception. Obviously, the furore, the sort of trial, and yeah, there's a lot of governmental problems with getting some of the footage back out of Myanmar. But once we've cleared that and the film is set for release, I think this is going to change lives. This is going to be like Thelma and Louise for a modern feminist.
Oh, interesting. So what is the current release date? What are we looking at?
We're currently hoping that all the red tape will be cleared by 2027.
Ah, so ready for the Oscars of that year?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. Would you like us to hold this episode back? For a few years.
Yeah, we can hold on to this.
What year?
We've got loads.
Because currently it's 2035.
That's right.
With your time travel.
Go on.
Well, according to Andy, it is, yeah.
So, yeah, if we could nip back and re-release this pre and then put it out post.
All right, I can't guarantee I won't get the controls mixed up because I did make the machine myself and I am not a scientist.
No.
Right. I'm a movie critic.
In which case, just bung it out now because I'd hate to waste all this gold.
Okay, that's fair. 2035
that is
it
fair.
Is.
Done.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So, Charlotte Church.
Charlotte
Voice
Church.
Of an Angel, director of
women.
Okay.
In most cases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids, Ghostbusters.
Spy.
Spy.
You really put the emphasis on different words to everybody else, don't you? Bridesmaids, Ghostbusters.
Spy.
Spy.
Freaks and Geeks. Yeah, what's so how has he managed to... Now, I wonder if you've sort of taken some of his pretending to be a male... of her pretending to be a male in the public eye skills on board for your own James Corden lifelong impression.
Do you know, I think gender's very fluid, especially
Which
mine,
fluid?
When I'm being paid
to be
a different one. If you aren't taking this seriously, I've got a lot of other interviews I need to be at today.
No, you know, I'm taking it seriously. I'll do the interview.
Oh no! I'm taking
fluid reason. Jokes when I've just bared my soul doing a birth scene for you guys. I mean, what publication are we even recording this for?
This is not. This is our podcast.
Time
our
magazine.
That makes more sense, doesn't it? I mean, so what is that woman
we
over there typing
online,
everything
sure.
that we're saying out for?
That's
then?
My
That's
secretary.
For the blog.
Yeah, and she's just taking the minutes for the blog.
And his name is Craig.
It's my assistant, Craig. No, don't stop, Craig. Write all that down as well, because this is all interesting. Okay.
Stop doing the illustrations, because I find them offensive.
He's just practicing. He's making little pictures.
He's a creative soul.
Yeah, it's impressive that he's doing that at the same time as typing all of the speech down. But you know, he's a talented guy.
He is.
He's a hard worker.
I like that we're actually looking over there.
That's where he's.
But Craig.
Well, we're not going to be looking at Meryl over there. That would be
Meryl.
We'd have to start talking. She's been in movies.
Can I have another bit of water, Meryl? It's not a job, is it? It's
no,
not
she
a job.
Empties the bins.
Okay. Okay, good. Any other questions?
Yes. So, the inciting incident.
Yes. Now, this is a minefield. I can answer some of your questions. Gotcha. I cannot answer all of them.
Okay.
Let me see what I can do.
I've got several.
Okay.
First one, what does inciting incident mean?
So, legally, I am allowed to tell you it was a seasonal issue involving the death of nothing with four legs, and everybody that is going to be charged has been charged.
And
good.
What did you do with the bodies?
I cannot confirm that there were multiple bodies. And personally, I did nothing with any of them. Hence me not having been charged.
What did Charlotte Church do with the one body?
I cannot talk about that.
What did Charlotte Church do during her downtime from the movie?
I'll tell you what Paul Feige did with his downtime from the movie.
Okay.
Please do.
So, I don't know if you've ever driven a 4x4 with the big grills at the front, but sometimes you are just...
I have, sure. Andy has, he loves it. That's
pow, 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 we had to do a scene, we had to hit some key points in the scene, we didn't have a lot of time, budget was running low. Poo, 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 there's blood all over the windscreen. Anyway, the children were not happy seeing it. It was a family pet. We just needed to get it off the 4x4. Obviously, in that state, we were not supposed to have been driving whilst on heroin, but the scene before had been one all out of it, chasing the dragon. And so we needed to get this one done within the time constraints. And I think... if the alarm hadn't gone off for several hours, we'd have got away with it. But I wasn't there.
Some would call that the climax rather than the inciting incident. What would you say to that?
Sorry, Andy sometimes mispronounces it as the exciting incident, and he... that which would be the climax, but he means the incident which, you know, in the movie kicks off the action, the election of Thatcher, for example, something like that.
Yeah, well, the thing with this movie is that because of budget constraints, a lot of the stuff that was happening that was meant to be, as they call it in the trade, off camera, ended up having to be stuff
please
that...
Please don't use jargon, we were really... it's very confusing for
sorry.
Us.
Sorry. It's because I'm a movie star now.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff that was just happening that the cameramen were leaving on so that they would be covered legally if it came out in the papers, things yes. like the producers coming down and physically beating extras mm-hmm. and stuff, that ended up having to be used... in the film
okay.
because we'd run over time so much. Charlotte's not
so you
great
just cobbled it together and made
yeah.
it. Did it
yeah.
become a sort of metatextual piece about the idea, a sort of adaptation of, like, you know, the film adaptation?
I think if you as a critic are happy to call it that so we can, that would be great.
You're looking for a quote, a poster quote yeah. from this podcast.
Yeah.
Do you want to try and work something up for that?
Yeah, okay. So, well, first, if what we do is, before we get to that, if we can just recap for the listeners the premise of the movie, the brief plot line, we'll take it in turns. Should we all take it in turns?
To say a word each for the quote?
No, a thing that happens.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
James Woods is born.
Yep.
Sure. James Corden becomes Maggie Thatcher's aide.
We have to stop mining for semi-skimmed milk.
cereal remains dry forever.
Of course. Cereal, the podcast, is released. Mm. And James Corden thinks, oh, I should do entertainment.
Yeah. James Woods climbs back into James Corden's wife.
And she remains silent the whole time.
Because of Scientology.
Yeah. And she's British.
Which is the only reason James Corden is famous.
And then really, was it after that, Major, Blair, Brown, Cameron, May?
Mm-hmm. And then the family pet dies.
Thanks to the grill.
Roll credits.
Heroin credits.
Yeah. Why did you leave that scene in at the end?
I didn't.
That
wasn't
bad.
My call. I wasn't in the scene, so I knew it wasn't incriminating for my arraignment. But
because you thought that it added creatively to it, and as long as you weren't going to be in trouble.
I quite often think reality is much more interesting than just lucid dreaming. And so the fact that that scene actually happened, and like, because obviously after that happened, we all woke up desperately wishing it hadn't.
Yes.
A lot of people had head injuries and couldn't remember all of it. Those of us that were just kind of a bit shell-shocked, but okay, were like, oh.
Some of the children please, were dead.
Yeah, make there be a way that it's not real. But it was real. And so if you've already been through that, why not show it
use
to other
it.
People?
Yeah, use your pain.
Milk it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Milk.
Not anymore. So what's next for James Corden?
Late Late Show?
No, Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh, ooh. Good.
Taking over from
the
Brucey.
English one? Or oh, he's presenting?
Yeah. And playing all the dancers.
Is he replacing Bruce Forsyth, is that?
Yes, but the Bruce Forsyth that's now in the... That's too dark. I'm not going on with that joke. Yeah, he is.
Cool.
Why?
Well, I think people just miss Brucey and
do you think
James
he's a natural successor in terms of his physique? Pattern,
yeah, I mean,
legacy.
I think, I don't know if you've seen Bedknobs and Broomsticks, which is a very early role
well,
for Brucey.
You're about to find out if I have. No,
I haven't. Well, go back and watch
so
it.
You know.
Early Brucey, mm-hmm. Angela Lansbury, everything you've ever wanted.
Does he play the bed, the knob, or the broomstick?
The knopple.
The knopple?
The knopple.
The bed, the knob,
the
nipple.
Brucey
or the
plays the knopple.
He plays the knopple, which yeah. is the...
Sort of witch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he plays. And it's very reminiscent of early Corden.
Is it?
Yep.
In that he was sort of
British male, white mainly.
It sounds like you're describing Charlie Chaplin here.
Bruce Forsyth.
Where did he?
Charlie Chaplin's twin.
Oh.
Here we go.
Bet you didn't know that.
Shut up.
Yeah, check his Wikipedia page.
Now, where did he come in?
Bruce's or
contest?
Charlie's?
He did come, and that was why he was disqualified.
That's fair.
Paul had to leave to wipe himself. It was awful.
Oh, God.
Well, I think we're coming to the end of today's interview.
Yeah,
same time tomorrow.
This has been great, yeah.
have you got anything to wrap up with?
We've covered pranks on set.
We covered the nopples. What's your sex life like now that you're James Corden?
It's great.
Better or worse?
My husband is a huge fan of Corden, and Corden's wife's a huge fan of my husband.
Yes.
It's been great. Been sounds really like... great. Slippery.
Oh.
Slippery is a word I'd really use. But in a good, like, good slippery.
Yeah.
Like Flotsam and Jetsam and Little Mermaid. Ooh. That, yeah.
If James Corden was here now.
Which he is.
And, yes, but, you
he'll
know, if you're in character, I want to see, you know, you really bring out those chops.
Yep.
what do you think he would say about the film?
He'd say, superb, couldn't have done it better myself. I'm going to go and sit in this dark room and watch you do my life better in a failing sort of a way than when I was making it a real success.
Great. And do you want to put that on the poster? Or you just imagine that, so I don't know.
I think that's what he'd say. I think he'd look back at that brilliant, you know, he'd look back at all of Gavin and Stacey and say that was a phenomenal piece of writing.
But really a
prelude
to...
I wish you'd done it.
Oh, I see. So you, in a way, he thinks you're a better Corden than he ever was.
Yeah, I think he'd look back at Fat Friends and go, yeah, it was great. It was a really, really solid actor. It was a brilliant show to come up in, but it just would have been better if you'd have been, what were you, 11 at the time? If you'd been doing it instead of watching it at home with your mum.
He's a pale comparison of himself, really.
Yeah.
I mean, all these things that he's done, as good as they are, just pale
in comparison.
To giving birth to James Woods.
A sort of pale blue to his Corden blur.
I mean, he's got to look at my career and think, am I free on a Monday to do a podcast before a gig 300 miles away from where I live?
And what would he say?
We're driving home and he'd be like, no, I'm not free for that.
No,
because
he's been
Laura is the sort of actress who is free to do that. Let's let her make my life interesting again. It's got too easy being really good at what I do. I need to let her take me down a peg or two.
Excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. James Corden.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Listener Question.
Hello. Okay, so now time for Listener Questions, where we ask
No, we ask listeners to make questions that we can then answer that they've asked.
But they can't answer because how would they answer? We've been doing
this. So we start off, we say, please ask us questions. And that's us asking them to ask us questions. So I've just done that. And now we get the big bag of post out.
Do you want a hand with that?
No. All right. There we go. Okay, that's still the post bag. And I'll just ruffle through the bag, pull out this. Now you read the first question from a listener. And who is it from?
It says, hello, boys.
That's the boys.
My name is Raymond, 29, GSOH.
Good sense of humour. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that...
Well, he must have. He listens to this podcast.
Does he... Is he looking for... Does he think this is some sort of matching up? Well, what's he said?
Well, I mean, I'm on the lookout for someone now, so...
Raymond.
Yeah, why not? Well, everybody loves Raymond. How could you not?
Okay, great. What's he said? What Raymond said?
He was like, Andy, will you go on a date with me?
Is that what he said?
No, of course he fucking doesn't.
What's he said? Well, he's got GSOH. He'll be funny.
When everybody loves you, would you be messaging into a podcast?
Wouldn't need to.
Because everyone's just like throwing themselves at you. And that's what that show was all about, really. People throwing themselves at Ray Romano. Yeah.
Just to be like, you know, we love you. Fuck us. And what's your mum doing around all the time? Get rid of her because she's a buzzkill. And then and he's got a brother, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he just sort of watches the door probably. It's like, don't come in because they're fucking...
Do you think it was a well-written show though?
Is that Raymond's question?
No, that was me asking you.
This is a movies podcast.
Ah.
What's Raymond asking?
He says, can you critically analyse the show Everybody Loves Raymond?
Okay, no.
Good answer.
Can you?
No.
Well, exactly. What are we? Critics? I mean, yes, but of movies, not of TVs. Which is, that's what Everybody Loves Raymond was. And this person is Raymond, and he's maybe thinking, if I work out the trick, the secret, then Everybody Loves, and then it's me, it's him now, is Raymond.
He's got a follow-up question.
Okay.
He says, can you name any movies Raymond Romano was in?
Yeah, he's in Funny People. And he was in The Big Sick.
There we go.
Good. Fucking nailed that. Why? Why did I nail that, Andy?
Because you know movies.
Next question.
Yeah.
This is from Paul Merton. Not that one.
How do you know it's not that one? Does he say?
It says not that one in brackets. And then it says next to it in brackets, or is it? Question mark. And then at the PS at the bottom, I just skipped to the end, it says actually, no, it's not.
Okay.
He is 53. Ooh, is that a similar age? I don't know how old actual Matt is. And he, Big Paul, says, hi, Andy and Tim. Where are you? Right, I see. So this question was meant to come in last episode, when there wasn't one.
Ah.
And so he's thinking that we would have read it out on last week's episode, or last episode, when there wasn't an episode. So we'd read it out and be like, he'd say, where are you? We wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So it would make sense.
Yeah.
It would make sense to ask where we are if we're not there.
How do you know that we weren't there?
Because it wasn't, and there wasn't an episode.
But presumably he would have had to message him beforehand.
I don't know. You have to ask him. I just read it out. I'm just the messenger.
Paul? How did you know that we weren't going to do an episode last week?
That's the point. We can talk to him because this is a podcast.
Yeah.
Paul. How did you know that we didn't do an episode last time? How there wasn't one 2 weeks ago? How did you know about that? Paul.
Wait, give him a chance.
I thought I heard him. No, is that?
No, that's Graham.
Oh, Graham?
Graham?
Can you get Paul for us?
Are you with Paul? No, he's not there.
No, he's not there. All right, well, I'm interested.
He probably thought we cancelled the podcast. That's why he's not listening.
So that's why he's not here. Where are you? And he just think that we'll receive it, maybe not read it out, and then we'll tell him, write him back, or we told him.
Yeah.
Marvel HQ.
Yeah.
Which is high quality. And
yeah.
Broke up with wife. Any more questions, listeners, from them?
Yes, this one is from Tal says, Tim!
How old's Tal? Tal.
68. It says, Tim!
Yeah?
What's your favourite movie?
Oh, right. Now, my favourite actor of all time is...
It's not what you asked.
Oh, is it he?
Yeah. Who do you think it was?
She.
Well, no, he submitted a picture. That's clearly not a woman.
Tell.
Chest hair.
My favourite actor is, of course, Ray Romano. And why? Because...
He's so great and
funny
people.
Everybody loves Raymond. So, of course, I love him. And my favourite movie is one that he's in. And I've already given you two. So you want to guess which one it is? Which one he is in?
Funny People.
Yeah.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.